Good morning, brethren and sisters. Let us open this morning's memorial meeting by the singing of hymn number 207. Hymn 207. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon and softer gleam, O praise him, O praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hymn 207. Before the word of exhortation, we will sing hymn number 277. 277. Be careful for nothing. The Lord is at hand. Remember the glory. Remember the land. Be fervent in spirit. Be instant in prayer. Work out your salvation with trembling and fear. Hymn number 277.
Be careful, the Lord is at hand.
The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time," says the Lord. "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them in their minds." Then he added, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." My dear brethren and sisters, we are here this morning to reflect on the selfless sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whose dedicated offering we can receive forgiveness and a reward or a potential reward, an opportunity to access eternal life when we see our Master, when he returns, which has to be very soon. But for a few moments, before we partake of the bread and the wine, we should like to focus our thoughts on the concept of sacrifice as a theme and what part it should play in our lives. Now, I have two headings in my Bible for Hebrews 10. The first is Christ's sacrifice once for all. And connected with this, halfway down, we have persevere in faith. So how appropriate for us this morning as we prepare to remember our Lord and all that he has done, to remember that Christ's sacrifice once for all, and the exhortation to persevere, to follow that example in faith. So what is sacrifice? The definition is like this: the act of giving up something that you want to keep, especially in order to get or do something for someone else or to help someone. As we shall see, there is a need in true sacrifice for something to be of considerable value, for it and to be forfeited voluntarily. And we'll look at a couple of examples from Scripture. In Eden is recorded by inference the first occasion where a life was sacrificed to cover the first sin of disobedience, when the Almighty provided skins to dress Adam and Eve. Now, this established very early on the principle of sacrifice being necessary to take away sin, the shedding of blood. Abraham understood most personally the meaning of sacrifice. Having been asked to sacrifice his only son at that time, having waited a lifetime for Isaac, Abraham's enduring faith was to be tested. Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Can you imagine how faithful Abraham must have felt? How would we have felt? Our only long-awaited son, how precious Isaac was for Abraham. So the Almighty called upon him to demonstrate that faith. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb of offering to be burnt? Imagine the torture for Abraham from these words from his inquisitive son. As we know, having committed in his heart to the sacrifice, the Lord mercifully provided an alternative. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by thorns. So there was a measure of degree to demonstrate true faith, committed faith, and as proof of perseverance, the sacrifice was in this case to be of irreplaceable value. Abraham was being asked to forfeit the most precious thing that he had, that he'd waited a lifetime for, which in human terms was at that time irreplaceable. And then we have, on a different scale, but supporting the same principle, the example of the sacrificial lamb of Israel. Remember the unblemished lamb, Exodus 12, verse 5, which was required to cover sin. The word unblemished actually means whole and complete, perfect, in other words. Nothing but the very best was to be offered to the Almighty. Perfection. Remember, the lamb was kept by families, almost as a pet, we understand, protected and probably played with and loved. Imagine then how poignant for each family it would have been to then take that little lamb, that cherished, unblemished lamb, to be sacrificed for that family's sins. We then have the ultimate example, of which we read in John 1, verse 29, when we read, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Now, here are two of the greatest examples of sacrifice, of forfeit, that have ever occurred. Firstly, the Almighty, willing to sacrifice his only begotten perfect Son, so he truly understands the whole painful process. And secondly, we have our Lord and Master, who was an example of how he had sacrificed his whole life whilst he was alive. And for the benefit of others, he gave his life for his friends. So, what is sacrifice for us? We've had the definition, we've heard it. Sacrifice is the act of giving something up. In other words, voluntarily denying ourselves from the pleasure or utility of a given thing. be it an experience, be it a relationship, be it an activity. And the list, I'm sure, can go on. We've also seen the greater the preciousness of the forfeit, the greater the demonstration of faith. Forgive me, I can remember in Sunday school, in a Sunday school lesson, with a wonderful story about sacrifice. We were given a vivid image, and it was the difference between complete and partial sacrifice is like bacon and eggs. Chickens make a contribution, a partial offering, whereas pigs make the ultimate commitment. So, what is this for us? Are we partially committed? Or are we totally committed to faithfully persevering in service to the Almighty? These emblems on the table are the perfect example of persevering service to the Almighty. So what do we sacrifice of value voluntarily? What do we deny ourselves for the sake of the Father? In some ways, the most limited, the most precious, the most diminishing resource that each of us has is time. We all get, each one of us in this room is equal. We all get 24 hours a day. No one more, no one less. And once that time is gone, as at the end of each day, once that day is finished, we never reclaim it back, ever. So perhaps the question as we prepare our minds to remember our Lord is, how did our Lord spend his time? And how closely do I follow that very vivid, clear, simple example in my life? What time then do we dedicate to the Lord? What is then our sacrifice to the Lord? Throughout our Lord's life, in 1 Peter 2, we read, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth." And at the end of his life, in Isaiah 53, we read, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." So the question perhaps is, what motivated our Lord? Now we may read on Tuesday, in this coming week, God willing, from Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'd like to just quickly read those words to you now, with the thought of what motivated our Lord. And therefore, perhaps we can engender in us that fervor, that those embers. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with," here's that word again, "perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith. Now mark these words, for the joy set before our Lord, he endured the cross, for the joy that was before him, that was coming later. He endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So what was that joy? The joy of achieving the resistance of sin? The satisfaction of pleasing his Father by following his direction? The comfort and confidence of the certainty of that phenomenal reward of being united with his Father in a perfect world? Our Lord surely threw off everything that hindered him. But do we? Do we fix our eyes on him each morning as we awake? Do we think about Jesus and his perfect example? Do we metaphorically run the race to the kingdom with the same level of perseverance that our Lord, because he was motivated by what was in store? Do we treat that race as a sprint from time to time, or as a steady, ultra-long-distance race, a continual marathon? Our journey to the kingdom is one of endurance and requires us to be single-minded on our focus and desire to reach the finish line. In Isaiah 53, we read, after Jesus has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, the Almighty gave our Master a glimpse of the glory of the kingdom at the Transfiguration to avoid any doubt of what was in store for him, to make it live, to make it real in his life, so that it burned in his heart and in his mind. So what does motivate us? Do expressions like being given a portion with the great, sharing the spoils of the strong, provide us with the enthusiasm and motivation to cope with the nits and gnats that we have to suffer with at this time? Does the reflection of our Lord's example, fixing eyes on him, help us to look beyond the things that we have to deal with at the moment? Does the thought of our vision of the kingdom, and I'm sure we all have a vision of the kingdom, does that give us our daily motivation to run with perseverance? What is it that drives us? Different people are motivated by different things, clearly. So, as we approach the emblems of our Lord's sacrificed body, in the bread, as represented in the bread and this, and his spilled blood in representation of the wine, what will we recommit to this week? What will we be our metaphorical sacrifice this week? Will it be our time for others in service to them? For the one we are remembering, from what we can see, gave everything. Will it be our resources that we share? They're not our resources, are they? They are given to us by the Almighty choosing to give them to others rather than indulging ourselves? Will it be our thoughts and our prayers for others? Will it be our, what will our sacrifice be? Will we deny ourselves for the benefit of others this week in some small way and follow the example of our Lord? At the end of Hebrews 10, we read in the conclusion, "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not deny. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I will take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. We do not belong to those who shrink back, but are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved." For our memorial hymn, brethren and sisters, we've chosen hymn number 256. 256. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the memory adored, and show the death of our dear Lord, until he come. Number 256. Our brother Tim Dench has kindly agreed to close with a word of prayer after we have sung hymn number 119. Hymn 119. Thy kingdom come, O Lord, thy rule, O Christ, begin. Break with thine iron rod the tyrannies of sin. Hymn 119.